Good morning, Henry.
Good morning, Dom.
Or afternoon, rather, in your neck of the woods. So let's jump right in. What's going on in your part of the world next week?
Yeah, I mean it's going to be quite an interesting one, to be fair. We've got the ECB is probably the main event. So on Thursday, we're expecting, to be honest, that they keep rates on hold. That's not too controversial. I think their most recent minutes and a lot of the comments recently have kind of pointed towards June being probably the time when they'll have at least enough data to decide whether they want to cut. And I don't think there's going to be much to really change that they'll give us, to be honest. So that's been kind of our base case since last December, that June will be the earliest. So we're quite sort of happy on that front, I suppose. The one kind of interesting thing, I suppose, because there's not going to be updated forecasts, but what we will have is, or what we've just had is this March inflation print, the preliminary one, that was quite high in service inflation, but much lower and sort of more typical in core. So I think my feel at this stage is that they'll probably be want to be a little bit cautious around being too optimistic on the core coming down, partly because Q1 as a whole on core has been quite strong, and that's when you generally see most repricing in Europe, but also because this very strong services number, which they are very focused on, they don't have the details of yet. So it could very well be that it's just purely an Easter effect. So Easter being in March this year could have meant that things like airfares, hospitality services were all kind of supported, and we could just get that fade away in April, which would be what the ECB would want to see. But until we get the kind of breakdown, we're not going to know that. So we do get some of the final national numbers at the end of this week. So French and the Spanish numbers. So we'll get some insights then, but that'll be after the ECB. So for now, I expect Christine Lagarde will probably stay pretty cautiously optimistic, but really pointing towards June as being first possible time for a cut, and still very focused on the wage growth data. And otherwise, probably something that you'll have more insights than I do. We get to hear the results of Ben Bernanke's review of the Bank of England forecasting process. So, for context, the Bank of England forecasts have been quite poor through this whole sort of situation, this cycle. And a lot of it is kind of the way they're constructed. They get kind of a lot of stick for being a bit confused, especially when they use market pricing for the interest rates built into the sort of model, etc. So there's been a lot of talk around what that might look like. Could we end up with dot plots, which is what sort
Oh, what a
of
curse that would be. And the dot plot in the US is like an albatross. I mean, seriously, it forces the Fed to project much more certainty about the outlook than they really have. So in my view, it would be a terrible idea. But, stranger things have happened.
No, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, it seems to feel like it might be suggested. I'd be surprised if it got taken on. I mean, so for context, Mann, who's one of the, so Catherine Mann, one of the external members, she's kind of already mentioned it and said they already gave a better than that, in that they show exactly how everyone's voting. So maybe we might get a little bit more information on sort of scenario analysis, which is one thing that the Bank of England's very poor at, because a lot of its sort of central case is always based on what policy has been agreed. So even if it's almost certain that policy is going to be performed, such like sort of like fuel tax freezes and things like that, they won't bake it into their numbers until it's been actually sort of 100% confirmed. So, which makes them very sort of slow off the mark, basically. So I'd imagine there'll be more scenario analysis, and potentially we could get something like a, not necessarily a dot plot, but more like more individual comments on where sort of individual speakers or policymakers expect things to be. That would be interesting and useful, but I think we can hope, just hope, not just dot plots, not just anonymous dot plots at least.
Yeah, having tried to label central bankers' speeches for our AI project, I have to say I had a quick look at speeches from ECB speakers and BOE speakers. I find their English much more difficult than of the Fed. So maybe there is a cultural bias there to make things more complicated than they really need to be. Not
Yeah,
sure.
probably. It makes you sound smarter when you the classic economists. So yes, no, I don't disagree with you at all. And how about on your side? So there's going to be quite a few interesting things for you to see as well, especially after today's NFP.
As always. So, I mean, numero uno is obviously CPI and PPI. Once we have both the Fed and the rest of us, we'll have their estimate for PC and core PC month on month is really the key driver of the Fed rate cut decisions at the moment. In terms of the today's NFP, just a quick comment. The Fed is much more focused on the balance between supply and demand than on the side of supply or demand. And now it's official. Even the CBO is talking about it. Labor supply in the US has been boosted by large numbers of immigrants. So if you look at at today's data, for sure, we had another outsized NFP, but unemployment was roughly constant, 10 basis points below last month and in line with expectation. So within the margin of error, especially since the survey used to estimate unemployment is very noisy. And then if you look at wage growth, it continued to slow 4.1% year on year, which I think down from 4.3% last month. So it's kind of moving along nicely. I see the first cut as an insurance against the risk of being too tight. So I don't think the NFP is a big issue. If I think of medium-term risk, I'm much more concerned about an oil price increase. It looks like the Chinese economy has been resuscitated, and that's going to put pressure on oil prices unless OPEC increases its supply, which they don't seem very willing to do. They would probably be quite happy with higher prices. So that I see as much more of a risk in terms of Fed cuts. But back to next week. CPI, PPI. I have done a bit of a back envelope calculation. We need a core PC month on month at 28 basis points or below to have a year on year core PC at 2.7%, so below last month. And I think a couple of months of sequential declines would be enough to clinch the deal for a first cut. So that's important, CPI, PPI. And the other thing that's important, of course, is the Fed speakers to check whether my benign view of the NFP is correct. So we have a number of those. And I think the ones that will be more interesting are the ones who tend to stick more closely to Chair Powell's views. So I would think Goolsbee, Collins, Mary Daly, Kashkari, and Williams tend to be more of the freelancing type, so perhaps less informative. So for me, and of course, we get the FOMC minutes, but since they predate the NFP, I think the information there will be a bit stale. We will get the usual multi-handed economist, two-handed if we are lucky, and some comments about the Fed will be prudent in lowering interest rates. So not much info there. The essential will be CPI, PPI, and mainstream Fed speakers, really.
Awesome. No, thanks very much. And just you touched on a very interesting point, which is this creeping higher oil price, which kind of spiked obviously a little bit more recently, potentially on Middle East and stuff, sort of worries potentially, as you say, sort of China sort of speeding back up and PMIs in fairness being a bit more positive across the world. At what point, I suppose, does the would the Feds be a little bit worried about the oil price? When would they start to, do you think, sound hawkish? How long does it have to sort of stay at sort of elevated prices before they kind of start to, that starts to be reflected in their kind of thoughts? do you think?
So the Fed is like a super tanker. It moves slowly. They've been very consistent on that. You know, they've said they look at the totality of the data, not a single data point. But I think what's going to happen is that if oil prices remain high, it's going to feed through very quickly to core PCE, because the correlation between energy and core inflation remains very high, which is a feature of a high inflation regime. You know, this is my one of my favorite topics, the BIS2 regime's view of inflation. When we are in a high regime, people are very attuned to signs of inflation. There is something like an increase in oil prices. They adjust their expectation and their behavior accordingly. And before we know it, inflation starts accelerating again. So if prices remain elevated, we're going to see it at the pump very quickly. Then I give it a month or two to show up in a higher PC, and I think that would be enough for the Fed to not cut in June, which is my current expectation.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point in terms of oil tankers, Fed tankers sort of shifting slowly. But I mean, I think the ECB is in a very sort of similar situation. They are slow. I suppose that is something that could be quite interesting from Lagarde this week, because they actually, I mean, from their minutes, they had oil price falling from March. So obviously it's risen, I don't know, best part of almost 10% kind of thing since there. And we've also had a pretty surprising drop in energy price within the inflation numbers at the last print. So, I mean, if that was to, I suppose, the disinflation in goods and particularly energy was to kind of fade, it makes it harder for them to sort of certainly kind of look through, I guess, what is still relatively high service inflation for sure. So yeah, no, it's definitely a very important thing to be sort of watching right now. And I will plug sort of our energy analyst Vereshchagin put some good stuff on it of late. So please do check that out.
Yeah, Virush has been spot on this year, and pun intended.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of oil puns to be made. I'll keep myself away from that. Was there anything sort of, I mean, I know you've written a few sort of very interesting pieces this week, one on productivity especially. Is there anything sort of you'd like to sort of plug on that front, or just sort of just highlight to our sort of listeners?
Sure. I mean, the productivity, so-called productivity miracle is basically people not averaging productivity over a long enough period of time. I'm afraid that there is no, if you look at the details of the data, there is no sign of the pickup in the trend. And it's important because productivity has been driving down unit labor cost, which is a fancy way of saying the wage cost of producing stuff. And this unit labor cost has been the key driver of a key driver of disinflation, even more so than energy prices. So that analysis is a driver of my longer run pessimism that the Fed would not be able to cut next year as they currently expect. But of course, the piece was written just when the oil prices started to move up. So higher energy prices actually could, as we just discussed, take out the cuts for this year. So we'll see.
No, it's a good point in terms of the unit labor cost. I think it's something that the ECB got in a bit of a bind over, because it drives a lot of their medium-term inflation forecasts, which is one of the
Oh,
reasons why, I
that's
mean.
typically European. They want to be
Yeah,
logical more than they want to be relevant.
but it's a difficult one, because it means when the because unemployment's been so low, when they downgrade their growth forecasts, or so when you have some bearish news on that front, it actually pushes up the unit labor cost and means their core inflation is higher. So they've had some, I would say, slightly weird forecasts in unemployment. They're bouncing back up quite starkly, for instance. And I think that probably kind of is partly just to offset the fact that otherwise they'd have a really stonking medium-term for
Henry,
inflation.
I think the ECB needs a review by Ben Bernanke. That would set them right.
We'll see. We'll find out what he says next week. but yeah, no. I think that's really helpful. So lots of sort of interesting things to focus on. Certainly in the week ahead, and hopefully lots of things for our clients to be kind of asking us questions about and getting involved in, etc. But yeah, thank you so much for chatting with me, and hope you have a great rest of your day. And have a decent end of your week as well.
Yeah, I'm going to be away to attend to personal matters for the next 2 weeks, but I shall be back and I shall watch from the sideline with great interest what is happening. So thank you to our listeners and good luck over the next few weeks.
Well, thank you so much.